Books. Good morning and welcome to the land that we have hippity-hoppitied off to for the first time this calendar year. It is very nice to start Book Picks once again with our great stable of independent booksellers throughout the region. We're excited for this year ahead. We have all of our old favorites returning. We have some new stores joining us as well. And we look forward to many great recommendations every Tuesday at this time. So we start the year off, and I can't think of a better way to do it with our dear friend Connie Brooks from Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York, who has a book list and a half for us this morning. And it's a great pleasure to have Connie on the telephone this morning. Hello, Connie. Well, it's a good sign. You know, we certainly love when our booksellers come in, but when booksellers call up and say, "Yes, the store is too busy for me to leave," that's a good thing.
Right.
We like that too.
That's right.
So it's very nice to have you. Thank you very much for doing this.
Well, thanks for having Book Picks for another year, because we really love it and really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's great to have you aboard as always. So where would you like to begin?
Okay, well, I am going to start with a book. This is a nonfiction pick, and it's called The Geography of Genius, A Search for the World's Most Creative Places from Ancient Athens to Silicon Valley. And it's by Eric Weiner. And for thousands of years, we as humans have questioned the nature and source of genius. Is it in our genetic makeup or a result of hard work, dedication, and becoming an expert on a topic? What, if anything, does our location and the culture of a specific time and place have to do with it? In The Geography of Genius, writer Eric Weiner examines the connection between our surroundings and the generation of genius ideas. He explores the history of places like Vienna in 1900, Florence during the Renaissance, ancient Athens, and current-day Silicon Valley to show how certain settings are conducive to ingenuity. Weiner focuses on seven cities to uncover the circumstances that turn them into hubs of cultural, political, and technological progress. Some themes emerge. A commonality is that all the cities he visits were places of public debate. Most had opportunities for apprenticeship or a strong system of mentorship. Class and the role of money are also explored. As Weiner himself writes, the geniuses often, quote, had enough money to pursue their passions, but not so much they lapped into complacency. So that is The Geography of Genius, Eric Weiner.
The Geography of Genius. I've just started to read this book. Eric will be on the program in a few weeks.
Oh,
and
great.
We look forward to having him on, but it's so far is really a captivating read.
Yeah.
Next up.
Next is Desperate Steps: Life, Death, and Choices Made in the Mountains of the Northeast. And this is a new release that is put out by the Appalachian Mountain Club, in which Catskill area author Peter Kick recounts 20 true tales of hiking and backcountry misfortunes and seeks the lessons to be gleaned from each. From close calls to unsolved mysteries, these stories illuminate the realities faced by hikers and other outdoors people across the Northeast. Weather's unpredictable, the best laid plans go awry, and in the worst of times, even the best decision may not be enough to save you. Kick reports on the facts as they were known at the time, and he recounts the incidents with the help of first-hand accounts of the victims, families, witnesses, and professionals. As each story unfolds, Kick and his sources in the search and rescue community offer analysis to help readers discover what went wrong and how disasters might be averted in the future. Route maps and photos further bring each incident to life. This is a fascinating collection that will ultimately make the reader better prepared when next venturing into the woods.
And the name of the book is Desperate Steps: Life, Death, and Choices Made in the Mountains of the Northeast by Peter Kick. Next up.
Now I've got a couple of novels for you. The first is The Children's Home by Charles Lambert. For fans of Shirley Jackson, Neil Gaiman, and Edward Gorey, this is a neo-Gothic horror tale about a country doctor, a recluse, and mysterious group of children. In a sprawling estate lives Morgan Fletcher, a disfigured recluse and heir to a fortune of mysterious origins. Fletcher spends his days in quiet study and contemplation. One day, two children, Moira and David, appear before him. Fletcher takes them in, giving them free rein of the mansion he shares with his housekeeper, Engel. Then more children begin to show up. Dr. Crane, the town physician and Fletcher's lone tether to the outside world, is as taken with the children as Morgan and begins to spend more time in the estate's library. But the children behave strangely. They have an unsettling understanding of Fletcher's past, and their bizarre discoveries in the mansion attics grow increasingly disturbing. Every day, the children seem to disappear into the hidden rooms of the estate and perhaps into the hidden corners of Morgan's mind.
Wow. A lot going on there. It's The Children's Home by Charles Lambert, a novel, which is out. And the next up.
Okay, this one is Christmas Bells. This is by Jennifer Cheverini. And I wouldn't normally include a book with Christmas in the title a week into January, but I'm reading this one right now and enjoying it. And I think in some ways having Christmas in the title does the book a disservice because it's a solid historical novel no matter what season you're reading it in. And readers will recognize Cheverini's name as the author of the popular Mrs. Lincoln's Dressmaker from a few years ago. She's written other novels as well.
Yep.
In Christmas Bells, the narrative switches back and forth between two storylines, one present day and one during the Civil War. One tells the story of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow and his family during the fraught decade of the 1860s. Longfellow's was a bustling and happy household by all accounts, though all thoughts turn to conflict as the country slides into a civil war. In 1863, great loss strikes the Longfellow household, and the poet is spurred to pen the words to his famous verse and hymn, Christmas Bells. In present-day Boston, a young idealistic music teacher faces unemployment as the arts are cut from the public school where she teaches. The teacher, Sophia, is also the volunteer music director at a local children's choir, and she's chosen Christmas Bells for the annual Christmas Eve concert. Stories like this remind us that the past is not so very past, and that even amid strife, the light can shine in the darkness and bring us comfort.
The name of the novel is Christmas Bells by Jennifer Cheverini, is that correct?
Cheverini.
Cheverini, okay. Cheverini, Jennifer Cheverini, Christmas Bells. Next up.
So I go from a very heartwarming novel to a kind of scary mystery. This one is The Werewolf of Bamberg by Oliver Poch. And this is the latest in a series of unusual mysteries set in Germany in the 1600s, and I really personally like this series a lot. They feature the town's hangman as the unlikely hero. The hangman, Jakob Kuzel, is often in the position of dispelling superstition and bringing a degree of logic to seemingly mysterious and horrific deaths. And this new book in the series is no exception. In 1668, the hangman Kuzel, his daughter Magdalena, and son-in-law Simon are traveling to the town of Bamberg in Germany. But what was planned as a family vacation soon becomes a nightmare. There's a murderer in Bamberg who's leaving the remains of victims in the trash outside the city. When rumors quickly spread that the murders are the work of a werewolf, Kuzel must prove the superstition wrong and embark on his own search for the killer.
Again, a lot going on.
I have a lot going on in this entire list. I was noting that last night.
It is the Werewolf of Bamberg.
All right. I read widely, and I read many different genres, so it all comes to bear.
All good.
It's all good. A brief mention of a cookbook. This one landed under our Christmas tree, and we've been enjoying it. This is The Food Lab, Better Home Cooking Through Science by J. Kenji Lopez-Alt. And Lopez Alt is a self-described food nerd. In his role at SeriousEats.com and in preparation for this cookbook, he immerses himself in the science of beloved American dishes. With methodical testing, Lopez Alt shows that often conventional methods don't work that well, and home cooks can achieve far better results using new but simple techniques. I guarantee that you will never poach an egg, bake a pie, or boil pasta in quite the same way again. It's really, I don't know, I guess I like the science aspect of the cooking. It's fascinating.
It is The Food Lab, Better Home Cooking Through Science.
And then my last book that I brought on today is a picture book. It's The Only Child by Gao Jing. And the creator of this wordless picture book grew up in China and her youth was profoundly influenced by China's one-child policy. Gao Jing was frequently left alone and once even fell asleep on a city bus while headed to her grandparents and woke up at the end of the route utterly confused and scared. That incident from her childhood is incorporated into her book, in which a young girl becomes lost and follows a mysterious stag into the deep woods. The pair emerge in a strange and wondrous world, and ultimately the stag, a warm and protective presence, guides the girl back home. This is a deeply moving book that transcends the picture book category and becomes a meditation on loneliness and fear, as well as faith and love.
It is The Only Child.
It's gorgeous.
We also have a few more moments, so you can tell us about some upcoming events, because just because it is cold doesn't mean that there aren't lots of cool things and even warming things happening at the bookstore.
So we've got a couple of great author events coming up this month. On Thursday, January 21st at 7 o'clock, we will host Jeffrey Diamond. He is from the Berkshires, and he has just written a new crime thriller called Live to Air. And Jeffrey is a former television producer. He produced 2020, among other things, and we are excited to hear how that influences his mystery.
Wonderful.
And then on Thursday, January 28th at 7 o'clock, we welcome W.B. Belcher with his debut novel, Lay Down Your Weary Tune. I got a chance to read an advance copy of that one, and it's phenomenal. It's about an aging folk musician, and it's kind of like what would happen if Bob Dylan was no longer popular and moved next door. What would happen? And it's just phenomenal.
That sounds very, very cool. So Live to Air with Jeffrey Diamond takes place Thursday, January 21st at 7. Lay Down Your Weary Tune takes place on Thursday, January 28th at 7 o'clock. And you can find out more information about those events. You can find out more information about Connie's book list. And you can find out more information about the bookstore itself by going to battenkillbooks.com. battenkillbooks.com, right on Main Street in Cambridge. battenkillbooks.com. Bookseller extraordinaire Connie Brooks, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Joe.
And stay warm. Thank you
All
very
right,
much.
You too.
Be well.
Bye.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.